Hey, Nick, more goals this year, Chris Kreider or John Tavares?
Wow, Tavares, I can't go that far.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's
What?
Tavares.
All right, we'll see. One quick programming note, folks, if you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts all in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.TV Audio Network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. However, if you want to listen to just this podcast week by week, search SNY.TV Rangers, hit subscribe, and you'll be all set. And of course, as always, make sure to rate and review our channel. Let it rain!
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton here. I'll be joined by Craig Custance from ESPN in just a few minutes. We're going to look back over the past week, the Rangers with a couple of wins, also a loss in St. Louis. We're going to get into all of that. Joining me now, Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Nick, did you have a good time at the game last night?
I did. A lot of standing and clapping. Seven goals.
Seven goals against the defending Western Conference champions. I got to admit this right off the hop. We're going to talk about this 7-4 win against the Sharks. I think I underestimated this forward group. Not so much talent-wise, Adam, but just the speed. These guys are incredibly fast.
The energy that they're playing with is something that I think took its all. It's all what we thought they might play like, but since the puck dropped against the Islanders, they've been at one speed, and it's that 2014 speed again, where they look fresh. They look like the team they used to be, not like the team last year that just seemed like they were kind of just going through the motions waiting for the playoffs. This team is on a mission right now.
Nick, you saw this coming, right?
I don't know if I saw it coming, Brian, but the offense is just all, they can come at you in so many different ways right now. They're fast. Kreider is playing, out of this world. Nash has been pretty effective. JT Miller's playing big. They got big bodies all throughout the lineup, and they got big bodies that can skate, and it's just it's quite the mix of forwards that Gorton put together. Even the fourth line can play. Brian Grabner has been very effective.
He has.
I really, really like what this offense brings to the table. And if Chris Kreider plays at this level, forget it. He's on another level. Kreider, you could have given Kreider that shot 100 times last year. I don't know if he would have hit the net on seven of them, never mind scored.
Adam, let's talk about Kreider for a minute because Nick brings up a good point. Everybody keeps saying this is the Chris Kreider we've all been waiting for. That's all I've been reading on Twitter over the past week. Can he maintain this over an 82-game schedule? He's not going to score 80 goals. I get that. But can he score 35, 40 goals at this pace?
We agree he's not going to score 82 goals. But I think we can safely assume 70 is in the realm
of
possibility.
So?
I think with that, can he keep it up? I think that's, I don't know. We've seen him play like this in the playoffs before, but he's never really been this guy. I don't know. It's really a wait and see thing because you hope he can. You hope that he's matured. You hope that as a power forward, it's taken him 4 or 5 years to be this guy. But really, we don't know what his game's going to be in 2 weeks. We just have to wait and see. It's all new. It's exciting, but it's all new.
Yeah, Nick,
go ahead. There are two things that are really standing out to me. One is his play away from the puck in the offensive zone, Brian. He is the first guy in every time the Rangers dump the puck in. He's essentially has that Haglund effect from a few years ago. But he adds another element because of his size. Now guys, they have to worry about the time being taken away, but they also have to worry about getting mushed because he's 6'4", 200, and whatever. And it's creating so many more opportunities because he's forcing defensemen and goaltenders to make snap decisions that lead to turnovers. And then when you talk about his play with the puck, he's always had an incredibly hard shot and a very good release. He's never had accuracy. This is twice in a span of 2 weeks, I would say, going back to the preseason where he picked the top corner on a similar shot. If he hits that shot with any kind of consistency, 30's going to be a disappointment this year for Kreider.
They're just an entirely different hockey team if he's going to play at this level, right, Adam?
It's like they just added an all-star out of nowhere just to the lineup. Like, you knew that he had these possibilities, but now that he's showing it, but, let's pump the brakes a little bit because Oscar Lindberg, scored 15 goals in the first three games last year? I think that the key with Kreider isn't necessarily – I think he's going to score and he's going to get points, But like Nick said, the key with Kreider is going to be his consistency in both in as being a two-way player. Because that's where, you know, we'd watch last year and Kreider'd be invisible.
Yeah.
I think that the key for Kreider is he'll probably get 25 to 30 goals, but I don't think he's ever going to be invisible on the ice again. I think we're always going to see him make an impact.
Jimmy Vesey gets his first NHL goal Monday night against the Sharks. Congratulations to him. I really like his game. He set up another goal Monday night with his play behind the net. It looks like he does belong at this level. And, again, the Rangers are going to need all hands on deck here, Nick, if they're going to make the playoffs, right?
He really balances out another line. I mean, you look at the score sheet, Brian, and Kreider's at the top with 6 points. And then it's Zibanejad and Zuccarello with 4. And below that, there's a whole host of guys with 2 points. And it seems like he creates a little bit of space for Zuccarello. Now, granted, both one of Zuc's goals is an empty net. The other one's a little fluky. But Zuccarello's had a lot of time and space, and it's why he has 4 points in 3 games. It's just it's a different look, right? Like, that line is a little more creative than the Zibanejad-Kreider line. When Zuccarello has the puck, he can do magical things with it. And VC's fitting in on across from Zuccarello, I think, by being a big body. He always seems to be in the right position, and that's surprising for a player of his age.
What do you think of VC so far, Adam?
I think what you see with VC is that he does belong, like you said, Brian, because I think that he doesn't need to necessarily have the puck to be noticeable. Like Nick was saying, he's big. He goes to the front of the net. He'll play physical. He'll get in on the forecheck. Like, I think that you're always going to see VC make some sort of impact on the game. You know, look, do I think he's going to – I still think we're in agreement that it'll probably end up being 30 points or so for VC.
Yeah.
Not 30 goals, right. Although it was a pretty nice shot last night into an empty net. But, you know, he can do a little bit more to just fit in at both ends of the ice and get in on the forecheck and create space, like Nick was saying. So I've been impressed with him.
I liked on Thursday night against the Islanders, Nick, even though they blew that lead in the third period, they were still relentless. They didn't give up, and they found a way to get it done. That's a good sign.
That really was a great sign to see how they bounced back. And they took that into St. Louis, Brian, with any sort of puck luck.
Yeah.
They beat the Blues.
Yep.
You know, when push comes to shove, they really deserved a minimum of 1 point that game. If it's not for the opening goal, which was pretty fluky, a shot block that bounces all over the ice and somehow Tarasenko just split everybody before McDonagh could get back. Like, that's going to happen in some games. That's a little bit of luck, if you will, with the way the puck just bounced over and through people. But they don't quit up front, and I think that's going to be important because the defense is going to leave, hopefully just a little, but realistically probably a lot to be desired this season. And the Rangers are going to see – we're going to see a lot more 5-4, 5-3, 4-2 games than we're used to seeing in the past.
Adam, anybody up front who you'd like to see more out of over the first 3 games?
That superstar guy you guys love, Brandon Peary, has he taken a shot in the past 2 games?
Not that I noticed.
I think the answer is no. And he's in a tough spot. They didn't have a lot of power plays on Saturday. And last night, you know, again, not a lot. But I just don't know. I feel like he's going to be out of the lineup soon.
Nick, what do you think?
I don't know. I love Peary's game. I really like the element that he brings, just that cannon. I don't think it's going to take long, and I'm actually surprised it hasn't yet, Brian, not to jump too far off topic here, to see Clendenning on the first power play unit. It doesn't make complete sense to me why he's not running the number one unit with Peary at the blue line. McDonagh there, I like him on the power play. He's good as a middle guy, not as a main facilitator. I think he's much better suited to run the second power play. And I think if Clendenning gets there, it could help the power play.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the defense a little bit later in the show. Dylan McElrath is in the lineup now that Dan Girardi is dealing with what looks to be a lower body injury. Getting back to Peary for a second, Adam, you're right. If he's going to play, he's got to shoot the puck, and we're not seeing enough of that right now.
Right, and again, my point with Peary goes back to what Alain Vigneault said all in training camp, which he addressed the day of the Islander game, which is that he, in an ideal world, he wants 3 lines that can score and 1 line that can play defense. And in an ideal world, if Brandon Peary is not going to provide offense, Josh Joris was pretty good,
yeah.
I thought, last night. Oscar Lindberg's coming back. You can have a really energetic fourth line that can play at both ends of the ice if you take Peary out. Now, I thought they should have put Peary on the top line instead of Nash just to give him that opportunity yesterday. But it seems like they want him to kind of be comfortable being a fourth liner.
How about Zibanejad, Nick? What do you think?
He's been great. He's still, yeah. I thought, I didn't notice him as much last night. I think not having Buchnevich and the new line mate, but he's just so creative. He plays that European style that opens up the ice for other players. And while he has his shot, he's still a passer of the puck too, which I think is tremendous. And I think he's really energized Kreider as well. They just seem to fit together, which is surprising. Brian, the only line we haven't talked about, and he had a huge goal last night, is the Nash line.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been the quieter of the three lines, really, when push comes to shove. I think Nash has been effective in spurts when he's turned it on. I've really liked it. Miller's been effective in spurts, and so has Hayes. But I think that line still, I don't think any of them have been bad, but they leave a little more to still be desired to really potentially put this offense with the elite of the elite.
I mean, it's a one-for-one swap, Adam, but Zibanejad just seems to bring just a different dynamic than Brassard did, right?
He's just awesome.
Yeah, he's like, really fun to watch.
Yeah, like, that's not that Brassard wasn't fun to watch, but, like, Zibanejad, there's something about him when he has the puck or when they're on the power play. Like, the way he skates, his size, there's just something about him that looks special every time he's on the ice. And, like, that guy hasn't really been around the Rangers. He might be, based on skill, the most skilled player on the team. You know, it's either him or Zuccarello probably, but he could be that guy.
He seems so in control when he has the puck, and I think that's tremendous. And like you were saying, Adam, the one-for-one swap, they lost a lot with Brassard, but I think the biggest reason you haven't seen that yet is Zuccarello didn't lose a step yet. He's got 4 points in three games. And he adds that to another line. Zibanejad's controlling a different line. It gives the Rangers almost a two-headed monster where Brassard and Zuccarello in the past seemed like they had to play together. And now Stepan's really not being relied upon for offense at all.
Let's get Craig's take. He joins us now. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everything all right?
Oh, living the dream, my friend.
Amen, brother. As long as I can get a McRib anytime soon, everything will be right in the world.
Craig, you know you're dying a slow, painful death.
That's fine. Talking to you, I'm dying a slow, painful death. So, Craig, we were just discussing the Brassard-Zibanejad swap, just watching Mika these past three games. A lot of fun to watch. Just seems to be bringing the Rangers a totally different dynamic here. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting trade. In fact, Derek Brassard and the Ottawa Senators just came to Detroit, so I had a good chat with Derek Brassard yesterday. Mm-hmm. And just talking about the dynamics, I just said, did that come out of left field for you? He said, no, actually, he goes, you know, you'd heard there was some conversations at the draft, and then, you know, he mentioned his relationship with Guy Boucher, who coached him in junior, right. And he felt like that was really what put it over the top for that deal. And I love that deal for the Rangers. You know, they get younger, they're just as skilled, they save some money. Exactly the kind of move that team has to make in as they try to transition to a little bit younger team to extend that window.
And Craig, Zibanejad's fit really well with Chris Kreider so far. What is different in your eyes about Kreider through three games here?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, like, I'm watching a lot of games, so I haven't zoned in all that much on the Rangers, but just kind of catching what I have and watching them. And just reading kind of comments from the players. One thing you're hearing a lot about the Rangers is pace and playing with speed. And I think, you know, and you're hearing that truthfully in a lot of teams right now because you saw how the Pittsburgh Penguins won. And it's funny because when you talk to people, you know, with the Blackhawks won, it was a puck possession game. And the Penguins aren't necessarily a puck possession game. They just, it's more of a sprint and it's just flat out speed everywhere, up and down the ice. And they're not afraid to dump the puck and then go get it. They're just utilizing that speed and the forecheck. And so I think we've seen a lot of teams say, okay, look, to win in today's game, you have to have speed. And boy, I mean, as you guys know, Chris Kreider, holy cow, there's not a guy whose game is better fit for that kind of game. So I think it's just his skill set really fits well with where the NHL was headed and kind of the evolution.
Yeah, Kreider's on another level right now, Craig. He really is. I'm curious to see if he can get 30 to 35 goals for the first time in his career. And, you know, I was looking at this roster going into camp, and I just kept saying to myself, is there enough here? I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But they're just so fast, and it kind of overcompensates for what I thought was an old and slow defense. And, you know, as time goes on, who knows if they're going to be able to keep up, right?
That's a fair question. Here's the deal. I mean, and it's been pointed out to me by a number of people, the Penguins defense wasn't particularly good last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And And look, I mean, I'm a traditionalist. I want my D to be deep, and I want six guys who can play. And the Penguins showed if you have a deep forward group, you can make up for it, because you know the puck wasn't spending a lot of time in the Penguins' end. And I think the Rangers can look to that with some optimism. The challenge is, you know, there's other fast teams in the East, and so you know when you get to a track meet and you have two teams that are trying to do the same thing, it becomes a battle of wills. But it's, you know, it's interesting. I just think what people forget, Brian, sometimes is there's more than one way to win in the NHL. Like, you know, the Penguins win with speed, and all of a sudden everyone says, oh, you got to have speed. Right. Or the Kings win, and everyone says, oh, you got to be this big, heavy team. And really, you know, it just happens to be whatever team comes out of there and has that run in the spring, which just as easily could have been, you know, a bigger, heavier Ducks team, let's say, if they get a couple breaks and go on a run or something. So I think the important thing to me is that you do have some sort of identity. And so when kind of things go sideways as a team, you can then correct yourself and, you know, you kind of lapse into the way that you want to play. And I think it's important. The Rangers have kind of found that right away with that identity of speed that they have.
Do you think they're going to be able to keep up this offensive production, Craig, when you look at their depth up front in comparison to some other teams around the league? Right now, they are rolling four lines pretty effectively.
Yeah, so that's a weapon. You know, do I think they're going to score seven goals a game? Probably not. I'm concerned that you know, injuries are going to catch up with them. I think over the long haul, you want to be a little bit deeper on the back end than they are, and I think that's a concern. I don't think you want to make any conclusions about any team until you get to about Thanksgiving. So it's really early on in the process. Yeah. But I had a lot of concerns about the Rangers. They were a team that was kind of off the radar. When you looked at the East, it was the Penguins and the Lightning, and you look at the Capitals, and the Rangers just weren't there. And the one thing I kept hearing from people around the league was, boy, you know, they thought Henrik Lundqvist had taken a step back. And we're now starting to see signs of age in Henrik Lundqvist, really for the first time. And if that was the case, then the Rangers are probably going to be in trouble, and that hasn't materialized.
Yeah, and he will be 35 when the playoffs roll around, so they're going to have to continue to keep finding starts for Antti Raanta, Craig. Jimmy Vesey got his first NHL goal the other night. What do you think of this kid? Billy Jaffe and I talked about it a few weeks ago. We seem to think 30 points is realistic. Mike Morial said he could score 20 to 25 goals. What's your take on Jimmy Vesey?
Yeah, I'm a 20-goal guy, and it's funny because everyone's like, oh, you know, he was so hyped.
Yeah.
And I thought of him the other day when the Minnesota Wild sent down Mike Riley, the defenseman, because Mike Riley was Jimmy Vesey before Jimmy Vesey, right? Like, he was doing the tour, and the Blackhawks had him up in the suite, and who was going to get Mikey Riley? Like, that was the big story, the big good puck-moving kid, you know, and the Wild got him, and it was a huge deal for 2 days. And then, really, like, have you heard of Mike Riley since? Really, I mean, he's just been kind of up and down. And he may turn out to be a good player and all that. But ultimately, we're talking about Jimmy Vesey's better. He's a top six legitimate guy. Nashville is good of talent evaluators as there are in the game, especially Paul Fenton, their assistant GM. And Paul Fenton has unequivocally said that this kid is a top six, legit top six forward. That means that means a guy who scores 20 goals.
Yeah.
And you get him for free. So it's just a win all around. I just, you know, hope that there was so much hype surrounding him that I hope people's expectations were appropriately tempered and said, okay, look, the exciting thing is they got him for nothing, they got a 40 goal scorer.
Craig, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, some good storylines early on this year. Has anybody else jumped out at you in the early going that kind of surprised you, if you will?
Well, I mean, Kreider, I think, is a great story. I mean, we touched on him. He's been off the charts the way he's played. You know who else is Austin Matthews? Obviously, was so good in that first game. But Mitch Marner, his teammate in Toronto, I'm on record as saying I think he's going to have more points than Austin Matthews.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, man.
What's that?
They're so much fun to watch.
Oh my gosh! Like, and Toronto was irrelevant. Like, I hardly watched the Maple Leafs last year. It was just like they're rebuilding. And when you're doing what I do, you just have to cut teams out. You're not going to be able to watch 30 teams a night.
Right.
And so like as early as possible, you sit there and go, that team's irrelevant. That team's irrelevant. Kind of, I'm not going to pay that much attention to them. And Toronto was one of them. And it really is fun to watch them. And then I love staying up and watching Edmonton and Connor McDavid and that team. And then just completely off the radar, the guy that I've been really kind of pumping up is Zach Werenski, the defenseman out of Columbus.
Yeah, really good.
really good player. Yeah. He's going to get a ton of power play time. If you're a fantasy hockey guy and he's available in your league, pick him up, because I think he's gonna put up some points from the back end. And not that I'm a gambler or a fantasy hockey guy, but I know how hard it is theoretically to get points out of your defense. So he's another player. I think he's got a goal and assist so far this season, and really probably the lone bright spot on that team.
Last question, Craig. We're only a few games in here, but I've already seen odds for coaches who are going to get fired early in the season. I think Torts was at the top of the list. Who's going to go first? What do you think?
Man, I hate that stuff.
No, I know. I know.
You know what? I don't revel at all in, and I know it's all part of our job, and I get that. But even like the notion of setting odds to coaches getting fired, just because I've seen, you know, we're talking about guys with families, and like, not to get all
for sure. No, it's true.
I hate it.
And you know what, too? The other thing, Craig, is who's even out there? There's no hot shot coach in waiting, right?
Right. Well, that's a great point. Like, there's not a and I think that factors into it. Like, let's say Boston, let's say it goes really bad for Boston, and for whatever reason, Claude Julien gets fired.
Sure.
I think that changes the whole dynamic of the coaching front.
Yeah.
Because teams that might have been patient with their guy, let's say Montreal, for instance, might say, you know what, this is a once-in-a-lifetime shot to get a guy like Claude Julien. And I think that's a very valid point. Like, right now, if you're firing a guy, you better be really excited about either your AHL coach that you've got a Mike Sullivan sitting there waiting to go, and there's not a lot, you know, who has Mike Sullivan sitting there waiting to go, or you have to be excited about another coach. And even last year, you could have gotten Guy Boucher. They brought him over from Switzerland, and you know, he just came through town. And I forgot how much I like Guy.
He's great.
Such a smart guy, great talker. Yeah, just a lot of fun to be around. But I think that's a valid thing. Like, if you're going to fire your coach, boy, you better be ready. And you know, you mentioned Tortorella in Columbus. I think that was their mistake last year.
No question.
They fired Todd Richards, and then you paint yourself into a corner, and you know, whether or not you like John or not, maybe that probably wasn't the time or the ideal time to fire your coach that early in the season and without having a guy lined up to go. So if you're gonna do it, boy, you better have somebody ready.
Craig, I like Torts. I'm worried that the game has just passed him by, man. You know what I mean?
Just I do
the
like
style
it.
That
yeah,
he
I
wants to play. It just bit Team USA in the rear end at World Cup. When I saw them in Washington for pre-tournament stuff, like, there's no way this team is doing anything in this tournament. They're just you can't grind out wins at the World Cup. It's crazy.
No, I know. And then I think that was, you know, there was some roster construction issues there that we've all kind of beaten to death. But I've got to tell you, like, I sat down, I'm working on a book that has, you know, coaches in it. And I spent a day this summer with John Tortorella.
He's terrific.
He's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he gets it. Like, I'm like, John, you know, we talked about the blocking of the shots and all that. And he's like, I know what you guys all say. He just knows it. He knows what everybody's saying. He knows it. And he said, but look, here's the other thing. Is the game, you know, he's like, I'm more flexible than I used to be. And so, you know, if people come to him with ideas and they can articulate why it's better in today's game, like, he's not an idiot, right? Like, he's not sitting there holding on to some tactics that simply don't work anymore. But he has certain things, and blocking shots are one of them, that he refuses to change because he thinks it's a mental toughness thing, not a strategy or a system thing. To him, it's like, I need my team to be mentally tougher than your team. And so we're going to do the crazy training camps, you know, whatever it is, sprints and all that stuff. And we're going to block shots. And we're not doing it because I think maybe it's tactically better. We're doing it because I want my team to be tougher than yours mentally. And he believes that. And you know, he's won a cup with that mentality.
He sure did. It's a long time ago, but he sure did.
It was a long time ago. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
I know.
That's where he's headed.
Craig, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks
pal. Craig Custance does a terrific job at ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Craig Custance. Nick? Jack Capuano was on that list, too. I think if the Islanders get off to a slow start, he's a guy to keep an eye on, right?
I think he's definitely on the hot seat if they don't get off to a quick start. They took away some of his life vest, if you will, in P.A. Parentu, and they put a lot of pressure on these kids. They found the gear to beat the Ducks, Brian, which I think is a big win in overtime. I think that'll get them going a bit.
Adam, new owner. You got to think. He's not going to sit around and wait for the Islanders to figure this out, right?
Who would be the guy, though?
Like, well, that's what I said to Craig. Probably Brent Thompson is my guess.
Capuano, I don't particularly think he's a great coach, but he's worked with these guys before. He's gotten the best out of them. So I think that you got to probably give him more the benefit of the doubt if there's no surefire candidate who could come in.
You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to speak with Islanders radio play-by-play announcer Chris King this week. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcast. Let's talk about the blue line. Dylan McArath got into a game because of the injury to Dan Girardi. Took two penalties in about 9 minutes. What do you think, Adam?
He's the eighth defenseman on this team. He's just, and that's fine if he's the, if everyone else is healthy. He can play 20 to 30 games this year, but he's the eighth defenseman. He's not in the top six, and I don't think he's shown anything that should indicate he should be.
I want to see more. I mean, I've always been in the same boat. Right. I think Holden's played pretty good. You can't hate on him. I don't think he belongs on that first pair by any means. But, you know, they're winning games, and he's not playing miserably, so you can't take that away from him. You know, they beat the San Jose Sharks with Nick Holden on their first pair. I thought AV's leash was a little bit short last night to bench him in the whole third period, whether it be because of the fight or I don't know what his other reasoning would be. I did not think McArath was that bad last night. I like that he stood up for Ranta, even if it was an incidental contact. But Vigneault just doesn't like him. You know, he does not see him fitting in his system is what it really looks like it comes down to.
Yeah,
I thought that the reason he didn't play in the third was because it became a one-goal game quickly. And then once the game became a three-goal game again, he got a shift. And then the Sharks tightened it up again, and then he didn't get a shift. But there's a real lack of trust there between Alain Vigneault and Dylan McArath. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to work out.
Kevin Klein is skating, which is a good sign. I'm curious to see when he comes back. I just think he's going to bring more balance to that whole blue line, Adam.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they miss Kevin Klein just because he's a solid player.
Right.
He's not a Norris Trophy candidate winner, but he's just solid. He can play his game. You don't want to give him too many minutes, and you don't want to play him on the top pair night after night, but he's a solid player. He's a top four defenseman.
You put Klein with Mark Stahl when he comes back, Nick?
I think he ends up with McDonough.
With Ryan,
on the top pair. I mean, who knows how long Girardi's going to be out for at this point. I've seen it reported as two different things. I've seen groin and I've seen hip. So who knows what's really wrong with Dan Girardi, or maybe it's both. But I would imagine that Klein's going to get the first burn minutes. And that's a little over his head, but he did a fairly admirable job last year. You know what you're getting from Kevin Klein. And the Rangers desperately need that. He might be the second best defenseman on the team behind McDonough. I mean, it depends on where Stahl is, and his game's a little up and down. I thought he's been good. The one surprise, I would say, has got to be Clendenning, right? Like, he has not looked out of place
at all
back end. He's really fit in well.
And before we go, I've picked on Dan Girardi a lot, obviously, over the past few weeks, but I thought he played really well against the Islanders Thursday night.
I thought he was strong. I thought he had a pretty good preseason training camp, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he all of a sudden, after this long summer of being healthy and resting, unfortunately he gets injured right away in St. Louis, and now, you know, we'll see how he returns.
It's tough. The two goals against he was on for, I didn't really think that they were his fault. You had the 4-on-2 with the Islanders score, and I think it was Clutterbuck right in front. It's a 4-on-2 with the guy trying to get back on the back check. It's a tough play. And the other one, people seem to be mad at him for the Tarasenko goal because he didn't knock down the bouncing puck, which I thought was a little ridiculous too. He looked good. Is he a top pairing defenseman anymore? No, it stinks that he's getting paid like that, but he could roll as a number 4, 5, or 6 defenseman and still play pretty decent hockey.
How many goals does Kreider score this week, Adam?
70.
70 this week.
He's on a roll.
That would be news.
Brian, he looks good.
He really does.
Get out of the way, Austin Matthews. Chris Kreider's here.
We've been saying this for 2 years. We need to see this. We need to see this from Chris Kreider every week.
And you see it now. I mean, it's been 1 week, but just everything about his game, it's not the goal scoring, and that's the most exciting part. Or it's not just the goal scoring, I should say.
Hopefully Chris can keep it going. Great show, boys. We'll see you next week. Thanks again to Craig Custance. Enjoy your hockey this week, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.